Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Lamed Aleph in Meseches Psachim. It's the 353rd daf in Shas. Our daf will almost entirely focus on the halachos of halvaos, of loans, and it will start in the context of the Mishnah that will discuss whether one will violate the Isur of Chametz on Pesach by having someone else's Chametz as a collateral for a loan, or someone having your Chametz as a collateral for a loan, someone having a Gentile's chametz, and a Gentile having a Jew's chametz. All of those things will be referred to in our Mishnah. The Gemara then will begin a very important machlokes amarayim in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, and that is whether a loan, when it is repaid, do we consider that money retroactively as having been in the domain of the lender, in the reshus of the malva the entire time, which is the machlokis that is known as bal choiv lemafreya ho goive or mikanu labo goive. That's going to take us through daf lamed aleph. The Gemara then will get back to our Mishnah of Nachish Hilvis Yisrael Alchemtzo and question the Mishnah according to the Mandomar, who says mikanu labo hu goive. Ultimately, on Lamed Aleph on the Beis, we're going to get to another famous klal in Shas, and that is the klal of Rabbi Yitzchak Bal Choiv Koine Mashken, that someone who puts down a collateral, the lender is considered as if he owns the collateral. The Gemara will test that again through the case of our Mishnah. Finally, we will have another Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Aleph on the Beis of Chametz that has a small building that falls on top of it, and what are the halachic requirements in such a case. So let's begin, Bezer Hashem, bottom of Lamin on Bez, Nachri Shelvis Yisrael Alchem Tso. A Gentile that lent a Jew money on a collateral of the Jew's chametz. Rashi explains that they had made up before Pesach, the Jew had made up that if he would not pay the Gentile back, then the chametz would be the collateral, and that collateral was put in the house of the Gentile, and ultimately the Jew did not take back, and the Gentile took the chametz. So then in such a case, we learned in the previous Mishnah, the chametz shaval of Pesach of a goy is going to be mutter. So for that reason, mutter b'hana, it's going to be permissible to have hana from that chametz. V'Yisrael shilvis nachri alchem tzal achar Pesach. However, if you have a Jew that lent a Gentile, and the Gentile gave the chametz to the Jew, and it was in the reshus of the Jew, so then retroactively it's considered as if it was his the entire time, aser bahana, and then one cannot derive benefit from the chametz. As we mentioned in the introduction, the Gemara now will discuss an important sugya in Choshen Mishpat, and use our Mishnah to test that rule. Itmar records in the Gemara, Bal Choiv, if someone collects a loan, and he collects an item that was a collateral. Abaye says, L'mafreya hu goiva. It's considered as if it was his. Retroactively, we consider it that it belongs to the malva, the lender, from the beginning of the loan. V'rava amar mikanu l'habo hu goiva. Rava says, no, it only becomes his from the moment that he collected it, not retroactively. Now the Gemara will give us the nafkamina, the crux of the machlokas between Abaye and Rava, as it clarifies what they're arguing about. Kol hecha da akdish loive v'zavin loive. In regards to the interim period, when there was a loan, but the malva didn't collect yet, and in the interim, the borrower, the loive, went and he consecrated that object to the Beis HaMikdash, or the lova sold it. Kule alma lo pligi da'asa milva v'tarif. Va'asa milva uparik. That the lender, the malve, has all the right to take it, even according to the opinion of Rava, to take it from the individual that it was sold to, because it was already designated, it was meshubad, as a form of collection, as a mashkan, for the malve. So then he could go along and even take it from the purchaser, as well as if it had been given to Hegdish by the Lova inappropriately, then the Malva can redeem it for Hegdish, Rashi says, for a small fee. Disnan, as we learned in Erechin, Moisef Oidino Podemas and Achasim Ailu. So there, even Rava would agree
despite the fact that we say in Kaila about Goyva that the Malva already had rights to it. Keep leaking. When is the Machlokes? Dizavim Malva v'kiddush Malva. What happens if the Malva sold in the interim? Or the Malva consecrated it? Abaya Amalim Afrehu Goyva. He could collect the retroactive kivin the Malva Zamne. V'loi pare igloi milsam afrei demikar b'shu zahavei koyim. V'shapir egdish v'shapir zavin. Says Abaye, it works. Because retroactively it turns out that the Malva was entitled to it the entire time. The moment the loan began, he was entitled to it. And we see that was the item he was entitled to. And therefore, even before it came to his reshus, that is, even before he collected it, if he decides to be magdish it, it will work. It will take effect. It will become hegdish. If he decides to sell it, he can. V'rava amar Rava disagrees. Mikanu la bagoyve. Kima di'ilu havile zuzi. Have misalkele bezuzi. Ishtakech dahash de kokoni. Since it's not definitive that the malva will collect from the lova with this collateral, rather, if it is, kima di'ilu havile zuzi, if the lova would have money, so then in such a case, the mashkan or the shibud would never become the malvet. So therefore, it cannot be considered his, the malvez, that he could be able to magdish it or create a sale in the interim.
The Gemara now asks a long-winded question on Rava from a fascinating case of Rami Bar Chama. Umi Amar Rava Hachi. Did Rava say this? Va Amar Rami Bar Chama. And here we're going to have to keep track of the scenario. We get a taste of Bezer Hashem in a few years. Not too long. We'll be in Seder Nezik and we'll have this left and right. But let's keep track over here in a case of Dine Mamnos. Ruven Shemachar Sadol Shimon. Ruven sold a field to Shimon. Ba'achrayas. Ba'achrayas means that he's taken responsibility. Ruven has that if, for whatever reason, he does not have money and people he knows money owes money to, his debtors come to collect money from him, he will be able, and more precisely required, to pay Shimon back if those debtors collect from this land as liens. So that's a bachrayis, that Reuven takes responsibility that if it's taken away from Shimon, he will get something back to Shimon. V'zakfin alav b'milv. Shimon, at the same time, did not pay cash, and it was a loan. So Shimon owes Reuven money. Umeis Reuven, then Reuven died. I'm recording this now in the Catskills. I heard this morning after davening, as Magid Shir was teaching this daf, he said that Reuven had undergone so much stress, he must have died. Okay, but either way, Umeis Reuven passes away, va'asa balchov de Reuven, and the balchov of Reuven comes along, as we mentioned, that if someone who Reuven had owed money to could collect from the land, v'tarf le mishim, and he took the land from Shimon. Now Shimon really is entitled back payment from Reuven. The only thing is, Reuven is now dead. Va'asa Shimon. So what does Shimon do? Shimon, instead of following the general legal recourse, tries to do something smart, but he outsmarts himself. Upaisi bezuzi. Instead of allowing the fellow to grab the land and then trying to get back from Reuven's yisamim, he pays off the debtor, he pays off the person that Reuven owed money to, and he holds on to the land. Upaisi bezuzi. So what would be the halacha now? Shimon has now put out the money. Let's assume the debt was the same amount as the land. So let's say $50,000. So he had owed him $50,000 for land. He had the land. The land was about to be taken away from him. So he paid Reuven's debtor $50,000. Dinu hu da'asi b'nei Reuven. The children of Reuven could come along. Va'amri le l'Shimon and say to Shimon, Anan mitaltli shavok avach avon gabach. The only thing we are now required to pay of you is mitaltalin. That's what our father left. This is an important rule in Shas, and that is the mitaltalin. In other words, the financial obligations of Yisomim don't pass over to the from father to child. The only shibudim, the only
liens that pass over from father to child, if the father passes away according to halacha, is shibu de karka. Shibu de metaltlin don't pass over. So it's true, you, Shimon, paid off our creditor with money, and really, you could say that it offsets your requirement to pay us back, but we don't have to pay you back that 50,000. That shibud metaltlin was non-existent. And therefore, Shimon is stuck holding the bag. On the one hand, he's going to owe the estate of the Yisomim for the land that he had bought for the father. On the other hand, he cannot say that he had paid it already back. Va'amar Rava. And Rava taught, but what is the suggestion for Shimon? Ipikech Shimon. If Shimon was smart, magbi luhu ara, he would return the land to the Yisomim as payment. V'hadagavilar minayu. And then they would ask for it back. The payment would be when they give it back to the Yisomim, and then they would be entitled to ask for it back because the father had accepted Achrayus, Reuven had accepted Achrayus when he sold it to Shimon. And the Amar Rav Nachman, we need one more piece of information. Rav Nachman taught, Yisomim shegavu karka b'chelvas aviyim, Yisomim that collect karka from the money that is owned their father, ba'al choyv choyze v'goyve oisemehen, then a Baal Choyv could collect from that land. So this was Rava's suggestion in this fascinating case. It will come out that Shimon would really get ahead. And now we're going to connect it back to the Shita of Rava that a Baal Choyv is Lamafreya Goyve according to Abaye, but Mikanu Lahabo Goyve according to Rava. If we're going to say that Rava is of the opinion that you collect Lamafreya, then I understand why the halacha would be that he could pay back the Yisomim Shimon, as Rava had suggested, and then collect it, because we consider it Yisomim Shegavu Karka B'Chayvas Aviyim. It's considered Chayvas Aviyim because Amtu Lahachi Chaz V'Goyvaisimem the command to Gavu Michaim Davu and Dami. It's considered as if it was collected from the father when the father was alive, because it's retroactive. Eliyamet mikanu labo goyve. But if you're going to say that when you collect a collateral, it's only mikanu labo, amai choyze v'goyvoyse mehen, how could it be that Shimon could give the Yisomim back the land and then take it from them again? At the moment that he pays it back, he gives it to them, ha'avi kaman dezovin yasmi nichsi dami. It's as if the Yisomim had acquired that land. It's not connected to the past. If it's not connected to the past, then it's only connected to the Yisomim in the present because of Mikanu Lahaba. It's as if they bought the land. But if the Yisomim, and if the Yisomim buy something, could that become Meshubet to the Baal Choyv? Could that become Meshubet to Shimon? That is very difficult. It must be that we have a proof that, like Abaye, that Baal Choyv is l'mafreya u'goyve, and the nafkamina, of course, was we said above, ki pligiz of a milva v'kodish malve. And it's a big problem, because right here we see that Rava, who said mikanu la'aba, only fits in Abaye, who says l'mafreya. Question mark. Answers the Gemara, shani hasam, no. To answer this question, the Gemara pulls out one of the most important klalim in Mamanus, particularly in the halachas of Shibudim. Our daf, by the way, is a real collector's item in terms of having three very important halachas of halva on our daf. First one we saw was the Machloikis Abai and Rav Mafreya and Mikanu La'aba. And then is going to come, and then what's going to come is the halacha of Shibuda de Rav Nosson, and we'll have something else on Amud Beis as well. The Gemara answers by introducing the rule of Shibuda de Rav Nosson. Shani Hasam. Over there, when it comes to the case of the Yisomim and that Chov, it's different. The Omar Luhu, that the Baal Chov could say to the Yisomim, in this case, I believe it's Shimon could say to the Yisomim, Ki Hecha de Mishtabdana Leilavuchan, just like it was Meshubed to your father, Mishtabed Nami La Baal Chov Davuchan. It also is Meshubed to the one who your father owns money to. To understand this expression, we jump straight to the famous rule of Shibud de Rav Nosson. Mid de Rabbi Nosson, Disanya, as we learn in the Brayso, Rav Nosson Omer, Minayin L'Noisha B'Chaverim Money. How do we know if someone lends his money, friend money, and now he comes to collect? L'Noisha is to collect. Someone comes to collect from his friend money. And his friend, in other words, Reuven comes to collect from Shimon, but it turns out that Levi owes Shimon that exact money. That Reuven could really go directly and collect it from Levi. That you give it to whom it's owned. How you learn that from the pasuk is an interesting question. But either way, this is the rule of Rabbi Nassim. And that is when Reuven owes Shimon money, if Shimon is entitled to money from Levi, Reuven could go directly to Levi and collect from him. Let's explain now how we've answered the question as described by Rashi in Dibra Maschul Shani Hassam. Really, the halacha is that Baal Chayv is Mikanu La'abohu Goyv. If that would be so, then the question becomes, so then how could Shimon recollect from Reuven by saying that he's collecting a Chayv? At the end of the day, that land that he returned was only Mikanu La'abohu and isn't a previous existing Chayv. Shimon could say to the sons of Reuven, just like my nechasim meshubid to your father as a chayiv, they were also meshubid to me through the achrayis. So even though the loan is going to be collected mikanu lahaba, but there is a relationship of baal chayiv that goes back to the father, and I am entitled to collect any other previous chovas from your father because of the rule of shibuda de Rab Nassim. There are a couple of tremendous chidushim over here, which one could spend a lot of time being ma'ayin into, go through the Rashi well, and then point out the important chidushim, but this is the pshat in the Gemara. Let's continue on, Bezer Hashem. We put a big period. And now we come back to our Mishnah, and we get back to the fundamental topic. And that is, whether Baal Chayv is Mikan Ulahabo Govet, L'mafreo Govet, let's always remind ourselves the basics. Abai was of the opinion that Baal Chayv collects retroactively. Rava holds that it collects Mikanu Laba. The Nafkamina is if the Malva decides to be Magdish it before he collects or decides to sell it, would it be a valid sale if ultimately he collected from that item? Now, let's connect it to our Mishnah. Tanan, Nachri Shel V'Yisrael Achemtza Achra Pesach Mutar Ba'ano. We learned in our Mishnah, a Gentile that took the Jew's chametz as collateral, because he had lent the Jew money, if after Pesach, turns out he collects from the chametz of the Jew, it's permissible b'hanah. Analyzes the Gemara beautifully. Iyamit bishleima, I understand according to Abaye, l'mafreyahu goyve, that it's considered as if retroactively the Gentile owned it the whole time. Amtu l'hachi mutar b'hanah. For that reason, it's going to be mutar b'hanah, because retroactively, it was the goy's the entire time. Eli iyamit mikanu l'abo goyve, but if you say that when you collect a collateral, it wasn't yours the entire time. Am I mutar baharna? Why is this chametz mutar baharna? It only came into the goy's rishus after Pesach when he collected. Up until then, b'rishus of the Yisrael avikoy. It was considered in the rishus of the Yisrael. It's a bomb kasha. Rashi already on the Mishnah alluded to the answer of the Gemara. Hachem b'mayiskin and answers the Gemara kishir hinu etzlo. Even if you say Mikanu lahabo goyve, if it was in the goy's rishus the entire time, the halacha is that it's mutar banan, consider as if it was in the Gentile's rishus over Pesach. This vameven yavin fits in with the Gemara on daf hayamah beis as far as leaving chametz in the rishus of a Gentile. Period. Now the Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokes between Abai and Rava seems to be a machlokes tanoim. Lemeke tanoi, Yisrael shehuva l'nachri alchemtza achara Pesach. A slightly different case than our Mishnah. This is a Brisa, a Yisrael, that lent the Gentile money, and the Gentile gave the Yisrael his chametz for the duration of Pesach, and then ultimately the Yisrael collected from his chametz. Eino oivim. He's not oivim, the Tanakhama says. The Yisrael's not oivim. Mishum Rabbi Meir oivim, oivim. Rabbi Meir says that you are oivim. It's considered as if there's Jews the entire time. My lab must be that this is the machloikis the marasav and lafreu goyve. Rebbe Meir says that you collect retroactively, and therefore it's considered as if it's the Jews the entire time. Umarasav mikan lab goyve, and the Tanakhama holds that you collect alone mikanu lahabo, and therefore it's not considered as if it was the Jews the entire time. Asks the Gemara, "Tisbra ema seifa." But what are you going to do about the Seifa? But a Gentile that lent a Jew with the collateral of chametz for the entire Pesach, and ultimately the Nachri collected it. Divrei hakol oiveru. Everybody holds your oiver. Now that doesn't make sense within the Machlokas Rebbe Meir and the Tanakam. But now, Rebbe Meir, who said that you weren't oiver above, should say that you are, because it was considered as if it's in the Jew's Rishus up until the guy collects, and that's the Tanakama, and Rebbe Meir disagrees, and Rebbe Meir holds that you should not be oiver, because according to Rebbe Meir, we consider it as if it was collected retroactively, and it belongs to the Yisrael. So why is it that over here, even Rebbe Meir would agree that you are oiver? According to the Mandamar who says over there, that's the Tanakama, that you're not going to be oiver. Hach oiver, here you should be oiver, because we consider in the Rishus of the lender to the entire time. And this time, it was in the borrower's Rishus. Excuse me if I said lender before. It was in the borrower's Rishus the entire time. And here it's Yisrael. Hach oiver, here you should be oiver. The Mandamar Hasam oiver, over there you're going to be oiver, according to Rebbe Meir, because we consider retroactively as if it was in the Jews' Rishus. Hacha ain't oiver. Here you would not be oiver, because we would consider as if it's in the guy's Rishus the entire time. So l'chura, the seifa itself doesn't make sense. El hacha mayaskinon kigoyin shirinu etzla. You have to answer that both the resha and the seifa are talking about where the malve has already the chametz by him. And this machloikis is not at all dependent on the machloikis of Abaye and Rava, but rather is the third important rule in Shas about shibudim, and this is the rule of Rabbi Yitzchak. The kamifligi bid Rabbi Yitzchak, and it's totally in the machloikis. This machloikis is totally in the klal of Rabbi Yitzchak. Amri Rabbi Yitzchak taught, minayin lebaal choiv shekoinim mashkin. How do we know that if Reuven lends Shimon something, and Shimon leaves a collateral by Reuven, it's considered as if Reuven owns the mashkin. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, ulecha tiyat tzedakah. The Torah is describing a collateral that a poor person leaves by a wealthy person, and you should give it back to them. The Torah says, as tzedakah. What's the indication ulecha tiyat tzedakah that you're doing it as tzedakah? It's considered as if you own it. Emeina konim mashkin. If the wealthy person didn't own it, tzedakah minayin. Why is it called tzedakah? Mikan must be, says Rabbi Yitzchak, lebal choiv shekoinim mashkin. That's considered as if the bal choiv is entirely koinim the mashkin. So how does that relate to this machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yitzchak? Tanakama savra hani mil Yisrael misrael hudu karina bei luchati et tzedakah. When do we say that's considered as if the lender owns it? That's only if it's Yisrael to Yisrael. Av Yisrael minachri laikani. However, when it comes to from Yisrael to a guy, in other words, that if the guy gave it to Yisrael, his mashkin, he's not kind. Rameir savar kal v'chomer. And Rameir holds the kal v'chomer. Yisrael mi Yisrael kani. Yisrael from another Yisrael is kanui. Yisrael mi nachri loy kol shekein. Certainly, if the Yisrael got it from a guy, avol nachri shilvis Yisrael chem tzachar ha-pesach. And the Sefer therefore says that a nachri that lent to Yisrael and Yisrael gave him a collateral, everybody holds your oiver. Hasam vaday nachrim Yisrael loikani. Certainly, a Jew would not be kone, would not be makne his chametz to a guy for bal choiv, because the rules ulechati et tzedakah do not apply to the bal choiv of Yisrael. So, in such a case, it's not considered as if it was by the nachri. If it's not considered as if it was by the nachri, so then in such a case, it's considered as if the chametz was by the guy for the duration of the Pesach. It's considered as if it was by the Jew for the duration of the Pesach. But now we're going to get ourselves into a problem. Now we compare this halacha that we had learned that Nachri mi Yisrael loikani. How do we reconcile with our Mishnah? Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nachri shilvi Yisrael achem tzayachar ha-Pesach, a Gentile that lend money to Yisrael, and the Yisrael put up as collateral by the guy, we learned mutar ba'ana. It's mutar ba'ana. And we learned that he left it by the Gentile. So says the Gemara, even if he lent it by the Gentile, nihi nami derinu etzla, he left it by the Gentile, ha'amrit nachri misrael laikani. But a nachri is not koinit based on Reb Yitzchak's din of bal koine, bal choiv koine mashkin. Answers the Gemara, loikasha, it's not a question. Hadar mele machshav, Hadaloy Amalei Me'achshav. If you say to the guy that you're going, it's going to be yours, Me'achshav, so then everybody agrees that the guy is kaina. Asks the Gemara, Minitamra, and how do we know this? Tashanile, Ben Hechadam Me'achshav, Ben Hechadaloy Me'achshav, that there's a distinction of whether you say Me'achshav or not. This Anya, as we learned in a Braisa, Nachri Shehirin Pas Purani, a large piece of bread to Israel. Ain't over. In such a case, the Jew is not over. It's considered, the bread is considered as if it was in the Gentiles' Rishus the entire time, and therefore, one is not over. However, if he says to the Jew, Me'achshav, Rashi explains, higatich is the same thing as Me'achshav, that it's considered as if it was yours retroactively, over. We see that if you say Me'achshav, he would be kona. However, if he does not say Me'achshav, he would not be kona. Tana Rabbanan, Chanu shel Yisrael, Umalai shel Yisrael, Malai is food. Upoilei nachrin chnas l'sham. Gentile workers go in there. They enter that area. There's food of Yisrael, not of chametz, but poilei nachrin in general. Nichnasim l'sham. Chametz shenimtza sham achra Pesach aser b'hanah. If there's chametz that is found after Pesach, it's aser b'hanah. And certainly it's going to be Aser Bachila. Rashi says, because we're not told that it belonged to the Jew, rather it belonged to the guy. The inverse, if you have a store that belonged to a Gentile, a store that ostensibly did not sell chametz, however it belonged to a Gentile, however there was a Jew that was a worker that went inside. It's mutar b'achilin b'anah, because we presume that the chametz came from a Gentile. Be'ezer Hashem, let's begin the next Mishnah. Chametz shenafal av ma'poilus. If we have chametz that a building fell on top of it, harei u'kimavur, it's considered as if it's destroyed. Shimon Amli Eloimer, kol she'ein ha'kelev yochel l'chapes acharov. The only time it's considered as if destroyed is if the dog would not be able to reach it. Amar of Chizda, Rav Chizda adds, v'sarach she'ivatel b'libo. You still need to be mevatel the chametz. Why? Rashi explains, lest the debris be removed on Pesach, and it will turn out that the chametz will now be accessible, and then you'll be over on Bal Yirah. It's clear that according to Rashi, one would not be over Bal Yirah as long as the debris are atop of it. It's only if that there's a fear that the debris will be removed. Hence, because of that fear, it's kedai, it's appropriate, says Rav Chizda, to nullify it. We learned in regards to Rav Shimon Gamliel's rule, Shein HaKelev Yichol L'Chapes Acharav, Tana Kama Chafisas HaKelev Shloisha Tvachim. How much does you need to search? Three Tvachim. Amalei Rav Acha Breid Rav Yosef Rashi, Hada Amar Shmuel Ksafim Eilem Shmira Elu Bekarika. This that Shmuel had said that the only way to guard money of a Pikadon and to be considered as if you were a Shomer who did your appropriate job of guarding money is to put it and hide it in the ground. Does that require me ba'inon shloshet tefachim alod? Do you have to even put it three tefachim deep in the ground? Amr lehacha mishum reicha ba'inon shloshet tefachim. No, here it's because of the smell of the chametz you need three tefachim. When it comes to money, don't. Hasa mishum echsuyim mayanu v'loy boi shloisha. It's just about covering up the money, and therefore you don't need three tefachim. Kama, and how much do you need for the money? Amr afram bar papa misichra tefach. You need to give it the place of a tefach. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the daf of Lamed Aleph with three very important klalim in halachos of halva. Number one, if we learn the machlokes of Abaye and Rava of Baal Chayv l'mafreu goyve or mikanu l'abba. Number two, we had learned the rule of Shibuda derav nasan, that if you owe me, someone else owes you, I could collect from that someone else. And number three, the rule of Baal Chayv kaina mashkin. And that all began with our Mishnah, that a collateral of a Jew that's by a Gentile is mutar b'hanah, according to the Maskanas HaGemara, that's only if the kinyan was made up to be Me'achshav, and a Yisrael who had the collateral of a Gentile is Aser b'hanah. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes, Daf Lamed Aleph in Maseches Pesachim.